guys, and welcome to Cup of Tea and Talks with G, a place where the natural and random conversation amongst friends, family and peers flow over a cuppa. Relaxed, funny and easygoing conversations where nothing is off limits and tangents are encouraged. Think of the chatty, fun and open conversations you have around the table when catching up with someone and you think, oh my god, imagine if somebody overheard what we're talking about, because the conversation's gone down the most random and funny tangents. Well, that's what this podcast will be. I'll be speaking to different people from different walks of life with different experiences in each episode. So thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the next episode of Cup of Tea and Talks with G. I hope everyone is doing and feeling good. If you see my Instagram, you will see that this episode is going out a day late. Obviously, if you're not listening to this live, that means nothing to you. But yeah, it was due to go out. They go out every Monday at 8 a.m. But this one is actually going to be going out on Tuesday at 12 p.m. Couple of reasons. One being that it was a bank holiday weekend this week in the UK. And then also the fact that I sort of actually forgot. And I don't want to sound like flippant as if I don't care, but all about full transparency and honesty. Had edited the whole thing. It was ready to go. The only thing I needed to do was this part, which is the intro. And yeah, it got to like Sunday afternoon. The sun was splitting the stones. We were outdoors sort of meeting up with friends and yeah, just enjoying the long weekend. And I was like, oh, balls. I have completely forgot to finish it. Could have rushed home, could have got it done, but I don't like doing anything in panic. I always feel like if I've done anything in the past in a mode of panic or, you know, urgency, you can sort of tell, at least I can anyway, when I listen back and stuff. So thought best be honest and, you know, hold my horses and just do it when I could. Like that, I try to sort of remind myself that this is, like, I've nobody to answer to as such. Obviously, I don't want anyone to think, like I say, that I don't care, because I do. But this isn't a job. I don't have a boss. This isn't paid. This is something that I do because I love to do it and it's a hobby, and it's out of my free time. So I just thought, look, pull it back and, you know, push it back a day. Nobody's going to mind, like that. It is a bank holiday in the UK this weekend. So yeah, just thought, you know, I'd rather be honest and just say from the get-go that sometimes these things happen. And I'm all, if anyone ever comes to me for advice about anything like that, I'm like, it's fine, don't worry about it. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, nobody died. Like, my sort of advice to somebody else would be to, like, you know, don't worry about it. You're fine, do what feels best and all that. And just trying to obviously take that on and do that for myself. So yeah, sorry for that little spiel, but I just thought it was worth sort of noting and just sort of throwing that in, because I know a lot of people feel the same. We feel like we constantly have to be on it. We feel like if we've dropped the ball or if we sort of, something's been forgotten, that, you know, we nearly need to justify it. And like that, we don't. Do you know what I mean? Life is life. If we've made a decision or if we've forgotten something, we can be honest, be upfront, and then just sort of get on with it. So that is what this is about. So yeah, finish with that part. Moving on to this week's episode, I am speaking to Dawn Finnegan. Dawn is a makeup artist, blogger, and now a brand owner. She is from Drogheda, which is my hometown. And yeah, we sort of talk, we go back to the very beginning really as to how did Dawn even end up where she is now. So starting out in makeup, her training, where she worked, and just sort of how I suppose her path just sort of unfolded in front of her, sort of not even intentionally necessarily. I love conversations like this, and I think a lot of people enjoy this one because it just goes to show that I suppose you can have a rough idea as to where you want your path to go, but it will just open up and it will sort of go into different directions that you probably didn't even think was possible initially. But just by trusting your gut, sort of following your intuition and just believing in yourself, that it will open up so many more doors and, like, say, opportunities that you didn't even think could happen. So yeah, really, really enjoyed this chat. I think a lot of people will resonate with it. Obviously, highly topical in it is in regards to the pandemic and the lockdowns and all of that, which had a massive influence on Dawn. Obviously, she built up her business for a few years and was in a really good place as a makeup artist. And then, of course, like so many people, 2020 hit, and for the first time in a long time, I suppose, the uncertainty and sort of lack of control came back in. But from that, she was able to sort of flip it on its head, sort of, you know, do something with her time that she felt she had more control over. And like that, she's brought out her own brand, which is called Golden Angel. And her first couple of products out are, which she's got like tans and then facial oil tans. So we do go into more detail and talk about that in the episode. But yeah, I've put all Dawn's links in the show notes, so where you can find her personal or her blogger page, makeup page on Instagram, and also the page for Golden Angel Tan. Like that, she's a local girl. She is, this brand only went live in November and it's absolutely flying and doing so, so well. So I would implore anybody who hasn't yet to go over, give her a follow, and obviously show her some support. Because yeah, it's really exciting to see people like just doing what they want to do and sort of being able to sort of follow that on. So gonna stop going on now. Let you get straight into this episode, but thank you as always for listening. I know I say it a lot, but I really, really do appreciate it. It makes me so happy every time I got a message from somebody to say I listened, or every time I just see that people have actually listened. I forget sometimes. I do this now in my little bedroom, which is my wardrobe, and sometimes I forget when I'm speaking to somebody because it's on Zoom that somebody is actually going to listen back. So when I see the numbers going up and people listening, it really, really does boost it and make me get so excited for continuing it. So just a little thank you, and other than that, I'm going to stop talking and get straight into this week's episode. Hi Dawn.
Hi Grania, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Sorry, I'm just taking a big gulp of coffee. Go here. I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for joining me. And by the way, drinking coffee and hot drinks and tea is very much encouraged. So actually, to get straight into it, because that's one of the things, what is your hot drink of choice? What's your cuppa?
Cappuccino.
All right, you're a coffee girl then.
I'm a coffee girl. And like at the beginning of this year, I was like, okay, one of my, I suppose, aims for this year is to cut down on caffeine, because like I live on coffee.
Yeah.
Just being like, well, not being
the industry
now,
as well, though, lockdown, isn't it?
The industry, like you just run on caffeine.
Yeah.
So I would rely on coffee so much. So I did good for maybe like the first 3 months of the year.
Wow.
And then it's like, oh, here, feck it, I'm just going to go back to coffee.
There was too much going on in the year to be able to have any sort of like willpower for things like that. You're like,
oh, definitely.
If I drink a bucket load of caffeine, you like, you know, but I'm surviving each day, then that's what we're going
to
do. Because
then so be it. We have, 2020, to do it.
I was going to say 2020, but also 2021 so far has been absolutely mental. So, yeah, like if it's coffee that gets you through the day, fucking go for it. I've been doing the same with like chocolate.
Oh, yeah, that's my worst. That's even worse than the coffee.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if coffee gets me through the day, we're just going to roll with it. It's all good.
Yeah, definitely. So for anyone who maybe doesn't know who you are or anything about you, do you want to just give like a brief intro, who you are, what you do, and all of that stuff?
Yeah. So I'm a makeup artist. So I live in Drogheda in County Louth. And I suppose makeup is my main profession. So I own a makeup studio in Drogheda. I also do like a little bit of presenting on the side, where I would present like online campaigns and shows and things like that for local businesses. And then I do like a little bit of like kind of dabbling in the blogging world as well. So kind of like makeup tutorials, fashion hauls, what's going on in life, that sort of thing as well. So I've kind of like got my finger in a few different pots at the moment. Yeah. So it's fun. It's like a little bit of variety, which is really fun.
But they're all really complementary anyway, though, aren't they? Like it all sort of could all sort of overlap into one, because like it's not as if one minute you're doing that and then the next minute you're like, I don't know, a feckin' welder or something. Like you literally, it all ties in with what you do.
It all kind of ties in together, which is lovely. Yeah. But it's fun. And I think it's nice because I'm not one for sitting still. I love like a little bit of like variety and excitement and things like that. So it's lovely to have like, you know, one day you could be doing makeup all day, and then the next day you could be teaching a masterclass, and then the next day you could be filming all day. And so there's always kind of something different going on, which is really nice.
Yeah, definitely. And then like you say, like you're not always sort of with people. I suppose there's a lot of work down what you do, like sitting on your laptop, and you could be there in your loungewear for days or whatever, doing that side of things. So it's not like, say, constantly the same sort of thing, because that, I suppose, can be so draining as well. Like to always be on, like makeup ready, professional, and totally, all that.
Big time, yeah. Because, like, I mean, a typical Saturday for me, for example, could have like be 14 to 15 different clients in a day.
Wow. Yeah.
The next day could be just me sitting on my phone for the day, or sitting on my laptop, or researching the next ad campaign or the next post or whatever. So like, it's kind of like from one to the other, but it's nice to kind of do, like, I suppose, like being self-employed, it's nice to kind of have that time to yourself to like refocus on things.
Yeah.
I think like when I first started working for myself, that was one thing that was probably like the hardest thing maybe to get used to, because I was so used to working like a big like group of girls, and then all of a sudden it was just me by myself.
Yeah.
So it was like a big transition, but I love it. Like, I love having that time to myself and being able to do my own thing and organize my own stuff and things like that. So
yeah, like you're in your studio now, and obviously, like I say, there's nobody there and there's nobody going to be coming in today, and like, but that's your space, and you're still going to work, but like say, you're not having to be around people as such, you're still busy, but yeah, it's like in under your control as such.
100%. It's like my little haven as well. Like, there's days I just come in to like sit and be on my own. Like at the start of the first lockdown, I would just leave my house and come in and maybe sit here for like 2 hours on my own, not do anything or speak to anybody, but just to have, I think, that like that reflection time maybe to yourself, which was lovely.
So I always feel like, this isn't even the same thing, but like we've bought a bus and we're like, it's literally a tin at the moment. Like we're trying to like do it all up and stuff. But like, there's been days where I'll just go out and sit in the driver's seat. There's only one seat, it's a driver's seat. And I'll go out and sit in the driver's seat, and Nate will come out and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, he's like, you just need a bit of space. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, why don't you sit like upstairs? And I'm like, I just need to get out of the house. And literally, I'm on my driveway on this empty bus.
I love that.
But I'm just like, exactly like you said, I'm like, I just needed to remove myself and just sit and do nothing. And like, yeah, just enjoy that.
It's that feeling, I think, of leaving your house and feeling like you're going somewhere, or you're doing something, or, you know, you've left. I always feel on like most days I have to leave my house. I don't know why. Like, it's seldom that I'll have a day where I'll completely stay at home. So now that like restrictions have eased, I'm like, I have to leave my house if it's for a walk or to go and buy milk or just to like get out for an hour. I have to leave my house.
I found even before lockdowns and stuff, I would have always like made a note of saying like, I haven't left the house today. Like I would say it out loud and be conscious of it and be like, I'm just going to go for a walk around the block, because you sort of feel like if you don't leave like that day, and then say like with me, and if I'm teaching and stuff, it's in the evening, I mightn't leave my house then for like 36 hours, and I'm like, that's not good, I need to get out. Like, we had it in December, I can't even remember when it was so long ago, but I think in December at one point where Nate had a cough, so he had to get tested, and obviously we couldn't do anything, the two of us couldn't leave the house, and he did a test on the Friday, so the results were delayed because it was the weekend, they didn't come in till like Sunday night at 9 p.m. I was doing laps of the back garden. I was just like, oh my God, I just felt like I'd cabin fever. Now the weather was atrocious, so I think it was more the fact that like I couldn't leave because somebody had said you can't leave your house. I think that was worse. But like literally, like I say, I was doing laps in the back garden in the rain with the dog. I was trying to get him out as well. And I was just like, this is crazy. So like, thankfully, touch wood, we haven't had to do any of the like the long isolation, the 14 days and stuff like that, because I'd be climbing the walls at that stage.
I know. I've been lucky enough. I was the same. I haven't had to do anything like that. Again, touch wood. But I mean, it is so tough on people, and anyone who I know who has had to do that has just really had a tough time of it. Like, it's so hard. Like, mentally, it is very, very tough. It's really hard.
It's like it is like a mental endurance. Like, you proper have to like build yourself up to it. And with everything else going on at the time, like, is it any wonder like how it massively affects people and all that? And like, it's just funny. I was thinking before we started this call today, and I was like, I know for a fact a massive talking point, and I try not to be, will be the lockdown and the pandemics, but it'd be so tone deaf and like almost like ignorant, because it's affected it. There's no way we could sit today. It's literally the 11th of May. Things are only starting to open up. Yeah, like it would make no sense. There'd be no context to anything. And like, I don't like obviously talking about it because it is doom and gloom in some ways, but like it's affected everything. Nothing is unscathed and nothing's been unaffected by it. So like everything has got some sort of story to come from it as such. So but yeah, it's just even talking about there, like isolation and stuff, I sort of forgot all about that side of things. And it's just sort of blowing my mind that like, that was a thing.
That was our life. Like, it's crazy to think. And I mean, when you kind of go back to like 2019 or early 2020,
yeah,
you never could have imagined that that would have been our life for the next like year.
I was convinced it was 3 weeks.
Think about it. I was convinced it was three weeks. We went into
the social distancing and come on, what it was like social distancing and something else first. Then we followed suit about a week later, but then only about four days into that, we went into lockdown. But that didn't hit me as much as till, I think, like a few days after that, then Ireland went into lockdown. That hit me hard. I was like, I don't know why the idea of a home being in lockdown, I was like, oh God, like, I was like, we can do it, but I didn't want you guys to be.
Yeah.
And then I remember like after about a week, I was like, I hope they give us a heads up when this lockdown's going to lift, because I'm not going to be able to just get straight back into life after 3 weeks of doing nothing. And now I look back and I think, what a fucking idiot. Like literally in my head, I was like, they can't just tell me now tomorrow. Like I was expecting like some sort of siren to go off and be like, okay, lockdown's over. Everyone go back to what you were doing.
Yeah.
And then when, as the weeks went on, I was like, oh, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah,
I was oblivious. I honestly was just thinking, yeah, 3 weeks and then everything will be fine. And like, I don't think anyone was prepared. But even now,
no,
May 2021, I'm like, seriously, I can't believe.
But I was totally the same. Like, I really thought it was like 3 weeks. And I remember that week in March where everything was like up in the air. I was talking to one of my neighbors and she was like the kids won't be back to school like in September. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's so dramatic. I was like, not a chance. Like, this will be over in a month. Like, genuinely really thought that it would be over in a month. And now, like, and we had a weird thing here. I don't know if you guys had it, but everyone kind of had this mentality of like, come Christmas, this will all be over.
Yeah.
You know, we just had this thing of like, oh, like Christmas, like coronavirus will be gone and we'll enjoy Christmas and we'll go into 2021 and it'll all be brand new and it's not forgotten about. We just had that mindset for some reason. It couldn't have been more wrong. But it's like, it's so weird to think that it's like May. And I've had this conversation with a few people recently. It's like, I feel like it was like New Year and we've kind of blinked. And now it's like, oh, we're summer. We're in May. Like, what have we actually done this year so far? Like, we haven't really lived yet as such. It's crazy.
I've said to everyone, because in any year, January, February, I tend to sort of hibernate a little bit. Just happens, I think, naturally after the build up to Christmas and all that. But literally, I think it's only in the last couple of weeks that I've said I've only started to come out of hibernation. I've only started to like, I don't know, like say, I just feel like we've blinked and them whole few months, even though they were long, it just doesn't feel like they were ever real, because I'm just like,
it feels like a blur. It does. Yeah. It feels like a bit of a dream or something. It doesn't feel like it was real at all. Like, it's really strange.
And I remember February, it was probably about 6 weeks into it at that stage. And I was just like, I can't do any more of this. Like, I can't do it anymore. I can't stay locked down. And I think that's sort of when we had the announcement and that, and dates were given. And I suppose that helped. But like I said to you before we started recording, they said something about like, it was going to be 13 weeks so we could go back into the studio. And I was like, I can't wait till then. I can't. It's less than a week away now. And I'm like, I've made it. But like, I just couldn't, the timeline and all that. And like the 7 days a week type thing, being in the house and not being able to see anybody. I was just like, I just couldn't fathom it.
Like January here, I thought was like, it was horrendous. It was one of the longest, most draining, depressing Januaries ever.
Yeah.
Because at that stage, because Christmas had just been over and cases in Ireland were like 4,000 and 5,000 a day. And it was just so scary. And there was no end in sight. They put us back into level 5 lockdown and we just couldn't see anybody. And you know, the days were long, they were dark, it was like dull and the weather was shit. And
January's bad at the best of times, let alone all that on top of it. January's
the
hard.
Bad on top of it was horrible. It was so bad. Like, I think when the weather's that little bit warmer and brighter, it's a little bit more manageable. But I mean, that January was horrific. It was just so bad. It was so long.
Yeah. Oh, stop. And that's the thing. It's just like, now on the other side of it as such, it feels a little bit more like, okay, I can look back at it. But when you're in the depths of it, it feels never ending. Like, and I'm so glad that we're at this stage. Like I said, you went to Penny's yesterday or Primark for anyone listening in the UK, and we're opening studios again next week and stuff like that. You're like, just them little bits of normality are just like, and you're back working this weekend. Like,
back working this weekend. I'm so excited, but like, nervous, but I don't know what I'm nervous about. It's crazy. I think because I've only spoken to like, it's like Christmas, but like I've only spoken to like a select handful of people. I'm not like it feels strange talking to someone who you're not used to talking to, who hasn't been in your bubble. So it's really strange. But I'm so excited. But like, it's been five months since I've actually done makeup. I haven't done makeup since like the 17th of December. So in a way, I'm kind of like, oh, do I still know what I'm doing? Do I still have the knack?
Yeah.
It's like,
am I going to forget like everything?
These little things go through your head. Like, I've only been doing it like 11 years, but these little things just go through your head. Do you remember what you're doing?
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing I was going to actually say about like what, let's go back like briefly, but sort of how you got started. Obviously, I've got a rough idea of this story, but obviously, how did you get started and how did you end up now where you are, self-employed, your own business? And like you said, all the other stuff that you've sort of done, because I didn't actually know what you'd introduce yourself as. You obviously introduced yourself as a makeup artist, but like you say, there's so many different strings to your bow that you could probably choose the title depending on, because they're all as equal as each other.
That's true.
So how did you get started in all of this?
So for me, like I was a little girl, I was like obsessed with makeup. It was just, I was fascinated by it. I always say like makeup was like my first true love. So like when I was maybe like 7 or 8 years old, I would like just study my mom putting her makeup on. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And my mom used to always wear like the Coco Chanel red lipstick. And I would always like sneak it into my pocket and put it on when she wasn't looking. Like I'd come down the stairs going to school in second class.
I did that before.
I was just like so infatuated by it. I absolutely loved it. So as I got older, the obsession just grew and grew and grew. And then I kind of hit my teenage years and I thought I would never get to the age where I was allowed to wear makeup on a daily basis. And when I was about 16, I kept saying to my mom, like, can I please, please, please do a makeup course? Please let me do a makeup course.
They wouldn't have been that common around then though, makeup courses really,
That's
would they?
That's the thing, it wasn't really a thing. Like it wasn't like it is now. So it wasn't like the norm to do makeup. So when I was in school and teachers were asking me, what do you want to do when you're older? And I would say, I want to be a makeup artist. They were kind of looking at you to be like, are you crazy? Like, that's not a real job kind of thing. And that was the reaction, was that it's not a real job. But I was just adamant. I was like, no, I want to work in the beauty industry. This is what I want to do. So I remember I would say to my mom, please let me do a makeup course. So she kind of said, look, I'll make a deal. If you're really like passionate about this and you're determined that it's what you want to do, you can do a course at the weekends, but you have to stay in school. So she was just adamant, like I wasn't dropping out of school, I had to stay and do my exams and do my leave and cert. So she would let me go to beauty school every Sunday. So I used to go to the beauty academy in Drogheda every Sunday. And I trained with Smashbox. So that was like the first that was the first time. So my homework had to be done by Saturday night, and then I got to go to beauty school at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, and I would stay till four. And it was like the most exciting time ever, because I was just learning from scratch. And that just kind of got the fire in my belly. I was like, I want to do makeup. I absolutely love it. And I always remember, it was probably going back to maybe like 2006. Rihanna had the song out, SOS. And I remember seeing her music video for that song, and she's like covered in like gold shimmer and she has like the most flawless makeup. And I remember seeing that music video being like, oh my God, I want to do makeup. I want to be able to do makeup like that. I want to work in the music and the beauty industry. And that kind of cemented it for me. So I was just like completely obsessed. And I remember my makeup tutor in the beauty academy, she was helping me recreate Rihanna's look from the video, because I was just so taken by it. I absolutely loved it. So I stayed in school and did my leaving cert. And as soon as I was finished my exams, I went to beauty college. So I went to study beauty therapy. So I did everything, like the electrics, the science behind it all, facials, waxing, and makeup. So when I was there, I just kind of knew, like, I think everyone in the beauty industry or everyone who does beauty therapy, everyone kind of has like their niche, or they have something that they're either really good at or really passionate about. So for me, it was makeup. So I kind of decided, like, this is the path that I want to go down, and this is the area I want to pursue in the beauty industry. So I got work experience in Fuchsia, which is a makeup shop in Drogheda. And I used to go in like every Friday after, every Friday I would have off college, but I would go in every Thursday evening after college and every Friday. And like, I was only work experience, so I would clean, I would wash the girls' brushes. Like, I had like the Mickey Mouse jobs. Like, I couldn't do anything because I wasn't qualified, but I was just there to learn. And
But just to be in that environment, like, though, just to be literally dropped in the middle of that environment. Like, I did similar with the hairdressing. Yeah. It's like, and I always say, like, in obviously not in everything and not everything goes with this, but I always just think there is something about going from the start. And I always feel like you have to start, like, say, washing the brushes, making the cups of tea and doing them sort of jobs, because it does give you an appreciation then as you sort of hone your skills and sort of get your experience. Definitely. That you started from there. Like, I know some people think, oh no, I don't want to sweep floors, but I'm like, I really think it stands to you.
Oh, 100%. And I, that's exactly what I did. And I kind of remember saying to my boss at the time, I was like, I will clean everything. I will clean the toilets. I don't care what I'm doing, but just once I'm here, like, I didn't care. So I literally started at the bottom and would just watch the girls doing makeup, and I would pick up so much from it. And I remember, like, the head makeup artist who was in Fuchsia at the time, I was just constantly watching what she was doing. And I would say to myself, like, one day I'm going to be head makeup artist in here, like, 100%. That's my goal. That's what I want to happen. And it took me 5 years. Like, I was 5 years there before I got promoted to head makeup artist. So it was...
It's not that long, though, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
5 years, it wasn't like, that in the scale long. Of things, like, to set your goal and then in 5 years to have achieved that, you'd be thinking, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, it could have been longer, thankfully. Yeah. It wasn't, but 5 years later, then I got to head makeup artist. So I knew it in my first year of beauty college, like, it was kind of cemented, like, makeup is the route that I want to go to. So when I was in beauty school, you kind of had the option that you could stay a second year and do, like, your reflexology and your massage and that kind of thing. So I took the decision to kind of say, do you know what, I think I need to focus more makeup. So I went and did my second year in LA Makeup Academy in Dublin. So I really kind of threw myself into
proper, like, everything, isn't it, like, theater makeup,
everything,
like, yeah, everything.
And it's like the science and the background behind makeup and the origins of where it came from, and, you know, studying the world's most famous and well-known makeup artists. Like, it's a really intense course, but it's just, it was so interesting. Like, I just remember just being in my element, being up there, and it was just so incredible. So then from there, I kind of stayed in Fuchsia, I suppose, and got a full-time job there and stayed there for 9 years.
It was 9 years.
Wow, yeah.
I didn't know that it was that long.
It doesn't feel like it was, it doesn't feel like it was that long. Like, I still remember my first day in Fuchsia like it was yesterday, and I never would have thought back then that I would be there for like 9 years of my life. But I think it was maybe back in 2015, like, I set up my blog on Facebook, and I just kind of wanted to, like, create, like, a little online community to, like, support local businesses, and I suppose to kind of give, like, an insider's view to the public as to what goes on in the life of a makeup artist and what goes on in Fuchsia, and share, like, different, like, makeup styles and tips and tricks and product recommendations and stuff. So I think me going into that was kind of thinking, this will, like, be like a nice little hobby kind of thing or whatever. And I remember, like, the day I set it up, this was the 5th of May 2015, I was kind of thinking in my head, you know, if I get 100 followers by the end of the day, that'll be amazing. If I have, like, 1,000 by the end of the year, that'll be unbelievable. And within, I think, 3 or 4 hours of setting that up, I had like 1,400 followers.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is happening.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, what do I do here? So my boss was like, just go for it, you know, have fun, do your thing. And 6 years later, it's still going strong. So that's become like a little job.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And I have such like a fantastic community of people online who are just so incredibly supportive and amazing. So it was such a blessing in disguise. But I mean, just from setting up that little blog page, that just opened so many different doors for me. And it kind of catapulted me into another end of the industry as well, which was really cool. So I kind of had to make the decision then, you know, do I go and maybe start to pursue things on my own, or do I stay in my job? So February 2017, I kind of was like, I think I need to go and maybe spread my wings a little bit.
So less than a year after starting it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, that's amazing though. Like, say you didn't start it with that like end goal in sight as such, but the fact that it snowballed in less than 12 months to a stage
literally
where you were considering, right, what will I do now with my job? That's the dream.
And it took me, I mean, I always had that thought in my head, because I think Fuchsia, like, my job was such a huge part of my life. And I'd always have these random thoughts thinking, like, what would I ever do if I wasn't working here? Like, where would I work or what would I do or what would life be? Like, I couldn't really imagine it.
Yeah.
And I remember like the blog started to take off and just opportunities were coming my way. And there were certain things I couldn't do or certain things I couldn't give my attention to because of my job. And it took me, it was a good year. It was on my mind for a good year. And then I kind of thought, you know what, like, if you don't take a chance, you're not really going to know. And yeah. It was just literally that thing, you know, what if it doesn't work out? But what if it does?
Yeah. And I think as well, though, like, obviously, like you said, you sort of, not that you'd reached your goal at Fuchsia, like, mm-hmm. really, where could you have gone from there too much? You know
exactly.
what I mean? Obviously.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say because obviously, like I say, you grew mm-hmm. and all that there. But like, you do sort of have to think, right, in 10 years time, do I just stay here? Then do I become stagnant? Because, you know, unless things like go global as such and it becomes like bigger opportunities, like what can you sort of do? Like, and that's nothing obviously against Fuchsia, but it's like when you sort of think I've already reached the peak of where I could see myself, it does yeah. become a time there where you sort of hit like a bit of a crossroads and you think, right, like I can either stay and keep going here and like this would be amazing, or I divert and try a slightly different path, I suppose.
Exactly. And I think like that thought was actually a little bit scary to me because I was kind of thinking, well, do I stay here forever and just see what happens and maybe never try anything new? Or because again, like I had been there since I was 18. And at the time when I was about to leave, I was 27.
Yeah.
So that's all I had really known for, you know, career wise for my whole adult life. So I kind of had this thought that was a little bit scary to me where I was like, well, what if I never try anything new? And what if this is it forever? Which, you know, isn't a bad thing to stay in a job forever. That's fine. But for me, it was just kind of like, well, what else is out there? What else can I do? And what other opportunities are there? So yeah, I made the decision to just pack in my job. And it was literally the decision to just see what happens.
Yeah.
Which was terrifying.
I think that as well, though, because obviously I can only see everything from what I see online and that, but like it was done very amicably, wasn't it? Like there was no, you were very much given the blessing to go and sort of spread your wings. And I think whenever you do something like that, where it's so sort of like drastic, do you know what I mean? Like, but as long as you don't sever your ties, like I suppose if 12 months later you sort of were like, you know what, I don't like working on my own and I need to be around the girls and all that, there would have been no problem with you going back as such. So like, I think if you've got that little idea of, right, like, let's just see what happens, what's the worst thing that can happen? And if the worst thing is that you say, actually, I've figured out that this is exactly where I want to be, then is that really that bad?
Exactly. And I was very blessed. Like, I'm very close to the owner of Fuchsia. Like we had a very close bond. And when I said I was leaving, like it was just a day full of tears. Like it just felt like it was like the end of an era.
Yeah.
But she sat me down and she's like, look, if this doesn't work out, I will leave the door open for you. If you ever want to come back, your job will always be there. So
that's
it was
amazing.
Lovely to kind of, to have that security and to know if things don't work out in my favor, that I have something to go back to.
Yeah.
And for me, it was such an emotional thing, like leaving, because for the first time in my life, I didn't have security. And I remember the day I handed in my notice, I went on my lunch break, I met my mom for coffee, and I sat in insomnia in Scottall, and I just cried and cried and cried. And my mom cried and she's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, because what if I'm making the wrong decision?
Yeah.
And I said to my mom, I said, I just want to make you proud. And she's like, but I'm proud that you're making this decision. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I was like, I've no money. And she's like, well, you'll make money. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom is very, very practical.
If all comes to all, if you had to go, like say, and get any job, there's jobs there.
Yeah.
So like, if money's the only thing, you mightn't be doing what you love, but like, but if that's the absolute worst case scenario, then that can be figured out. Like, I say that to so many people. I'm like, right, let's look at like absolute worst case scenario. And in my eyes, if it doesn't end up in like some sort of like dying or something else, I'm like, well, that's not really that bad, is it? We can figure the rest of it out. As long as you're not putting yourself at risk or there's no harm to you or someone else.
Exactly.
Then like, what? Then just go for it and then figure it out. And more times than not, just taking that leap of it always works out. Even if it's not how you think, something bigger will happen down the line.
Absolutely. And like, it's funny looking back, because one of my biggest fears when I was leaving and I was, you know, about to work for myself, and like it's funny when I think about it, but I was like, I don't know how to do my taxes.
Oh,
like that was the biggest thing that I was freaking out about.
Why don't they teach that in school?
Teach this in school. Like, it's ridiculous. But that was my biggest fear. And I fretted so much about that. I was like, oh, I don't know how to do my taxes. And I remember again having this conversation with my mom on that one day. And I was like, but mom, like, I couldn't do, like, I don't know how to do my taxes. And she kind of looked at me and she just went, learn.
Yeah.
okay.
Blunt as, but yeah.
Yeah, and I did. So it was, yeah. It's worked so far. It's working out. Okay, I can do my taxes now. It's all good.
It's harsh, but I always look at other people and I think, well, I know what that person's like. And if they can do it, then I can do it because they've obviously just figured it out. So if they're able to do it, then surely I am. And it's,
oh my
like,
God, 100%. Definitely.
Yeah, like everyone, if everyone else is doing it.
And I think, like, you can definitely do it. And I think, like, when you look back to, like, being in school, like, I remember, like, leaving cert year, like, sitting down with, like your guidance counselor would have a chat with you about your future and your college choices and stuff. And I remember being like, oh, I want to be a makeup artist. And she kind of said, that's not really a real job. Like, what would you do, like, childcare or admin or something? And I was like, no, I want to do makeup. So yeah. It was kind of like frowned upon. And, you know, like if you mentioned owning your own business, it was like, oh, no, you need a business course to do that. You have to have a degree to own a business. Like that's how it was. Like there was no real encouragement of to be like, you know, do what you're passionate about and, you know, become an entrepreneur and maybe you'll make a business out of your passion. Like there was never any of that. Like I think more so now it's, you know, encouraged a lot more. But
everyone has a business nowadays. Like even if it's something just via Instagram, everyone has got a business. And I really feel like that's actually going to affect, well, it should affect the likes of the curriculums and stuff that is spoken about in school, because if they're still telling people that they need to get a good job, that they stay in for 60 years so that they get a good pension and that, no one's going to be able to follow that because it's just not the way the world is anymore. Like everyone has got, well, not everyone, but loads of people have got such an entrepreneurial everyone knows what I'm trying to say streak in them. And like say, even if it is they work, I don't know, 30 hours a week, but on the other 10, they do their own little thing. Like that should be encouraged and not sort of pushed away, because like you say, sometimes you have to be doing it on your own because you wouldn't get your job via a company somewhere else.
Absolutely not. And I mean, for me, looking back, like I'm 4 years now self-employed, and like taking that risk and leaving my full-time job where I was, you know, had my income like every week, regardless of how much work I did, I had that security and that stability. But leaving that, although it was absolutely terrifying, was the best thing I've ever done. And I mean, it was so scary. It honestly was so scary because at the time I had bills. I was still paying off like a loan. I had like, I had so many responsibilities. And a month after I left Fuchsia, I was after leasing out my makeup studio to maybe start doing makeup and to figure out a plan there. Like I had to redo everything and took out the lease and whatever. And a month after I left my job and doing all that, I checked my bank account and I had 72 cents to my name. Like it's all I had.
Oh yeah.
And I remember in that moment, like I was sitting there and I kind of went, oh my God, like what do I do? And it was really weird because in that moment, something came over me where it was like, right, either sink or swim, sit and cry about it or go do something about it. And it was funny because I remember saying to myself, look, you'll be fine. You have a point to prove. You're after leaving. You want to prove to people that you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
So go show them that you can do it on your own. And you do get this little fire in your belly to be like, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove everyone wrong. And
without coming negative, but you do sort of want to like shut down the doubters. You do want to say to people that say, oh, you're mad or that won't work out or, you know, you'll change your mind in 6 months. You want to sort of say to them like, no, I won't. And if I do, it'll be by my own choice. It won't be because I had no other options. Like that sort of that fear. And then obviously the opinions of others, unfortunately, in some ways, but unfortunately too, it does just give you that drive and that fire where you're like, I'm going to prove you wrong. Like, I hate that we come from that aspect, but you need that.
Yes. You 100% need that. And I think once I kind of got that into my system and I had that little fire in my belly, I was like, okay, nothing is stopping me. And I started, you know, advertising that I was doing makeup. I like, and on certain mornings I was up at 5 a.m. and I was coming into my studio for six to start doing makeup. I remember one morning coming to work, it was a Saturday morning, but there was still people on West Street.
Wow.
Like you had come home from a night out. And I was like coming in with like my brushes and my kit, like going to do makeup.
That's
because
mad.
I didn't refuse any work that came my way. I didn't refuse it because I was like, no, I'm going to make this happen. I don't care what time I have to get up at. I don't care how many hours in the day I have to work. And like in a weird way, like I really enjoyed it. Whereas if I had been working for someone else, you'd be going, oh, I have
you'd
to
be
get up
grudging,
at like
yeah.
5 a.m. But when it's for yourself,
yeah,
it's completely different. Like you,
but
just
then it doesn't feel like work. Like obviously it is work, but sometimes you think this isn't work because you enjoy it and because you can see
yeah
exactly for you. And like you say, you've got that ownership of it. Like like you say, if starting work for somebody else at 5 a.m. you're like, you're taking the piss, whereas like if it's you, you've made that call.
100%, like, it's completely different, and it's so fulfilling when it's for yourself as well. Like, you're happy to do it.
Yeah. And like I said, so you've done that for 4 years, and then on the offside you've had other bits come in. You said about obviously the presenting and I suppose like the blogging slash influencing side of things. Was that just sort of naturally that came about, or how did that all sort of start?
It happened really randomly, actually. Like, my first year of being self-employed, I literally had no plan. I just didn't know what was around the corner for me or what was on the horizon. So I got a job with Bellius 10 Races. And they approached me, and this was in 2017. So they were looking for a brand ambassador for Ladies Day. So they met up with me and they were like, would you like to be brand ambassador? And I was like, oh my God, amazing. Because I would have always gone to Ladies Day every year. So I just thought like this opportunity was just incredible. So it was an amazing opportunity. So I got the job of being brand ambassador for Bellius 10 Races, and they were like, okay, so we have to do like a press shoot. So you have to go on this press day, and you meet the newspapers and the magazines, and we kind of basically like introduce you to the press world as our brand ambassador. I was like, okay, yeah, that's good. Now, I had never done anything like this before, so I did not know what to expect.
Yeah.
So this was happening on the race course, and I arrived there on the day, and they introduced me to like their social media manager for Bellius 10 Races. And I was like, hi, Don, how are you? And he handed me a piece of paper and he said, that's your script. We're going to do a video.
Oh, wow.
And I remember, I was like, what? Like, no warning of this.
Yeah.
This was not like in the briefing, any of the meetings, nothing. I was like, what? Are you joking me? Like, I've never done a video like this. I've never read from a script or a prompter. Like, what the hell? So he literally gave me like 10 minutes to learn these lines and put me in front of the camera. And I was like, how do I do this? Like, what the hell?
Was it off by heart? Like, you didn't have the script
off by heart. Like, you had like 10 minutes to like look at the script and then be like, okay, we're going to do a take. We're going to go for it. And I was like, I was so nervous. But like, I think you kind of get this thing into your head where you're like, no, come on, you got this. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And I did a couple anyway. And he was like, oh, you're very good. I was like, oh, thanks. I thought he was just being nice. Like, and on the same day, the manager of Scottshall Shopping Centre in Drogheda, he was actually there as well. And he was watching what I was doing and he was like, Dawn, you're very good. I was like, oh, thank you. He's like, would you be interested in doing some things for the centre, like starting to present fashion videos? I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I really like what I'm seeing here.
That's,
I was
class.
Like, yeah, okay, fair enough. And it honestly just snowballed from there. So the more I was kind of seeing to do these presenting videos, the more companies wanted to work with me and wanted to do these campaigns. So it was in a way pure fluke, but worked out really well.
It's all about connections as well though, isn't it? And I love the fact that like if you didn't go self-employed, you probably wouldn't have been asked to be brand ambassador. And if you didn't have that, then the guy from Scott Hall wouldn't have seen you that day. It's all about like divine timing and everything happening in a specific order and, you know, as it's meant to. Like, you, if you
completely
had approach them first and email them out, they probably thought whatever, but because they were there at the time and seen it, it sort of happens a lot more natural, and you couldn't have even foreseen that type of stuff happening.
Oh my God, never. Like, I wouldn't have gotten these opportunities if I hadn't have been self-employed. Like, I wouldn't have been in that situation. So it's crazy to look back and see how it happened, and you know, 4 years later it's now a job to me. Like, and I would tend to kind of do that more than I would do makeup. Which is crazy. Like, I never, if you had said to me 4 years ago that would be a job, I would have been like, not at all. You know, but it's crazy. It's a huge part of my work now, which is amazing.
And you do so much locally, don't you? Like as far as like the local businesses, like everyone seems like anyone that's doing anything like social media wise or like influencer wise, like it does seem to be you. And I think you say like you're following in that, but like you've got such an age range, but very much like the local people, which not many people have, you know what I mean? They've got like this widespread, whereas like it really bodes in your favor because everyone is there. Like, you post something in a shopping center, that's the shopping center that majority of your audience are going to go to. So it like really sort of marries up nicely.
It works out well. Yeah. And like, I'm passionate about supporting local. Like, I love my hometown and I always have,
yeah,
you know, so it's always important to me that I do support people in my hometown. And like, there's so many amazing business owners here, and
yeah, for sure.
You know, there's so many amazing local businesses that I don't want to see them fade out. You know, I want them to kind of to keep going and to, you know, leave that little bit of a legacy, because like, I have the best memories growing up in my hometown, and I do love it.
Yeah.
So I always want to give it like that love, that love that it kind of deserves. You know, so many influencers, they tend to kind of branch out and maybe like everyone kind of just goes for Dublin.
Dublin.
And
yeah.
That's fine and that's okay. But I mean, I think it's just nice to kind of like remember where you came from and support those people around you. And like, I'll never forget.
They support you back, I think, a lot more.
And that's exactly what I was about to say. Like, they've supported me, and I don't feel like I would be in the position that I'm in without the people who have helped get me here. And they've constantly supported me, and that means a lot to me. So it's kind of my way to kind of give back as well, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it's like, it's just because, like I say, I follow so many like influencers, bloggers, social media influencers and stuff. And like that, it's majority of them, if they're not even from Dublin, it's always trying to sort of be in Dublin, or, you know, they're up and down to Dublin and that. And there's not many, like you say, that they're either working with massive, like, you know, not massive, but like brands that aren't sort of specific to one location. And it is nice, like you say, if you were to, right, where do I want to go for dinner? Where do I want to go for drinks? That, you know, that, right, if I'm in Drogheda, Dawn's going to be talking about somewhere in Drogheda. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to travel 40 minutes up the road, because there is so many amazing businesses. And so like, we go home, like whenever we can go home, like Nate loves Drogheda. Like, he loves the pubs. He loves the restaurants. Like, I do as well. I didn't realize, like, living over here, like, most restaurants are somewhat of a chain, or bars, like everything is a chain. That kills my soul. Like, I love an independent bar or restaurant, because I just feel there's something different about it. So when we go home, like when we went home for the wedding, or whenever we've brought people with us for a weekend or stuff, like, we just love going up and down West Street and going to like so many different bars and so many different pubs and all that, and just sort of showing that side of it off. And everyone's always sort of been highly complimentary of, like, you know, just a different, oh, we went to this bar, and then they describe it, I'm like, oh, that was that one. Yeah, and then we went to this other bar and had a swing, and I'm like, oh, that was that one. And you just know they're all their own little quirks.
Because it's so authentic. And I think, like, there's so much history in our little town as well. And I think it's only when you kind of grow up and you get that little bit older that you do really appreciate it for what it is. Do you know?
I didn't appreciate it till I left.
Yeah,
hand that's on the heart, didn't appreciate it till I left. And now I'm like, oh, it's actually amazing. I don't live there anymore.
Yeah, and I didn't appreciate it until I really kind of grew up. But it is, it is such a, it's a cool place to live. And it's, I just think that, like, there's so much authenticity in, you know, like bars and restaurants and just certain places in the town. So I love being able to kind of like promote that and just really get that out there.
Yeah, for sure. And then I suppose, like, we've already spoken about it, but obviously everything was going well, start of 2020. Mm-hmm. I suppose things were still sort of going on this, you know, upward trajectory and all of that. So I suppose, without going into too much detail, what was your plans at the start of 2020? Like, was it, were you just going to keep going as you were? Like, was there anything big in place? And then you were like, what the hell, when March hit and then, like, say the world just stopped. Like, what did that sort of do for you and your business at the time?
Like, 2020 for me, when I look back to the beginning, it was shaping up to be one of my busiest years. Like, I had so many weddings booked in. I had so many events. Like, I do a lot of like public events and like department stores, pharmacies, like hotel function rooms. Like, we would do a lot of like big events generally. Yeah. So there was a lot of that in the pipeline for 2020. And then we had so many ad campaigns that we were getting ready to film. There was just so much in the pipeline. We were hoping to get like presenting rights for like certain gigs in the country and surrounding areas. So all of this was kind of planned. And then I think it was like the 12th of March, there was all the speculation of like coronavirus and things might shut down. And I was like, I cannot entertain this. I can't even listen to this. That just freaks me out. Like, I can't even imagine closing, because for me, my job is such, like, it's the biggest part of my life. So I'm not really one who's like, you know, oh, I take Saturday and Sunday off. Like, I don't really take a lot of time off. Like, I'm constantly on the move. And then being self-employed, I was so used to like go, 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 go. Like, I had this fast paced lifestyle.
Yeah.
So when all this news of like coronavirus started to hit, I remember I was filming an ad campaign in a restaurant in Drogheda, and all these news reports were coming in that we might have to close for 3 weeks. And I just remember I started crying. I just couldn't stop crying. And I was like, I can't close for 3 weeks. Like, I can't, I just really can't. And then the next day, Leo made the announcement that we had to close for 3 weeks, and my phone just started beeping. And it was message after message after message from all my clients for that Saturday. I think I had maybe 14 or 15 makeup clients booked in. And they were all messaging going, "Dawn, I'm sorry, I have to cancel. I can't come in. We're not going because of coronavirus." And I was like, "Oh my God, this is not happening. This cannot this be real life.
This is my livelihood," like you say, just
literally
straight away,
So they were saying, you know, like, look, 3 weeks, just sit tight and hopefully in 3 weeks we'll flatten the curve and we'll be back. Yeah. So I was like, look, I'm just going to look at this like it's a 3 week holiday. It's a time to just like relax and recuperate and I'll be back in 3 weeks time and that's it. And over the course of 3 weeks, we could just see things getting like significantly worse. And there was no sign of anybody opening up. And it just got really scary because every day there was another message like, "Oh, Dawn, my wedding's cancelled. I don't need you." Or "This event is cancelled. I don't need you."
And
or,
these are things that would be in your diary quite far in advance. Because I know from my own hair and makeup were stuff that was booked pretty much pretty soon after we booked a date, which was like 2 years in advance. Like it was like, right now, get in your vendors and your suppliers. Like, so that's stuff that you've, not that you've spent the money, but you know what that income is sort of looking like as well.
You know, it's there, basically. Yeah. You know, it's there and you know, it's kind of down the line. So all my brides were like, "Look, my wedding is cancelled. How are you fixed for next July or the July after?" Like, this was kind of the crack that was going on. And I was like, "Oh my God." And like, I remember getting to a stage thinking, I have no work for the foreseeable. Like it was terrifying. I think come April, I didn't have any like definite work until September. And that really got me down. Like, because I felt like I was kind of waking up every morning in a funny way. Like, you felt like you'd no purpose. Like, you were waking up in the morning going, "What am I getting out of bed for?"
Just
to be there. Like, it, and I know like there were so many other people who were in such a worse position, but you just had this feeling of just being helpless. And
it's all relative, it's just though. Everything it's your that reality you was all gone. Your life and like how, like you say, there was always going to be people worse off, but that's the same in life in general. And I always say that, like, it's good to always remember that, you know, we're not the worst off, but at the same time, you can't dismiss your feelings either because like that's your reality. Like, it's hard.
Exactly. So it was a tough one to really get my head around. So I think it wasn't until maybe the end of April, I started to kind of go, okay, do you know what? This is out of your control. There's nothing you can do, you're going to be okay. So I started to just, I came off social media for a little bit, and I kind of felt during that time, anyone who was maybe like in the influencer world or who did that kind of work, they kind of felt pressure to keep posting and keep doing things on social media. And I didn't like feeling like that. So I kind of thought, you know what, I'm going to take a little step back and I'm going to take this time to come off a little bit and just kind of focus on myself, which I did. So I kind of started to think, okay, like, if worse comes to worse and makeup is really, really slow for the next year and I can't do appointments and I've no presenting jobs for the next year, what do I do? So I started to really think of maybe what my next move would be. And I started to think of how I could maybe diversify my business and do something different. So a dream of mine from I was maybe 18 was to launch a beauty product. So I always kind of envisioned myself with my own brand of beauty products. So one of my favorite beauty products is Tam. So I'd always kind of like thought, like, I remember working at a beauty show in the RDS a few years ago, and Marissa Carter had just launched Coco Beauty at that event. And there was this like absolute, like, it was chaos. And it was just like the biggest thing since sliced bread, because Coco Brown had launched and everyone wanted this tan, and it was just like there was so much buzz about it. And I remember seeing her at that show and you could just see Coco Brown everywhere, and I remember thinking, oh my God, like, I would love to be able to do that one day. And I kind of just started to research it, you know, would it be possible to like maybe create my own tan and launch my own tan online? So I kind of just started to think about it, I started to research it a little bit, and I kind of found what I was looking for. And because of COVID, all the labs that I was kind of dealing with had shut down. So they were open and then they were closed again. They were open and then they were closed again. So I started to kind of research it, thinking maybe it's an option, but we'll see. Again, like, I was like on a COVID payment. I didn't have a steady income coming in. I was getting like 200 odd euros a week. So I didn't have a lot of money to fund it. So the month kind of went on and we got to maybe like October, and I kind of sat down and I thought, look, things are really slow. I wasn't doing much makeup. we had very little ad campaigns to be doing. Like the big events that we had were all cancelled, so nothing was happening.
And there was still lockdown talks, wasn't there, around then?
There was like still more lockdown talks, yeah. Like I think maybe come October we were in level 4,
yeah.
But then there was talk of us going back into level 5 for Christmas. Yeah. So it was, everything was just really unsure. So I kind of sat down in October and I kind of went, is there a way that I could make this happen? So I, long story short, I took a gamble and I contacted the lab and I said, I want to release a TAM. So they sent me samples within a week. I tried the samples on me, tried them on my close circle of friends, and I kind of had a feeling I was onto a little bit of a winner. So the feedback that everyone was giving me from the tan was, oh my God, this is amazing. And this is fabulous. So I didn't even tell my mom at this stage. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Because my mom would be like, oh my God, what's happening? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So I told nobody. So I kind of said, look, I'm thinking of taking this gamble and I'm going to take half of my life savings and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And in a way it was kind of like, oh God, like what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
But on the other hand, I was like, look, I just have to try and just see what happens. If it doesn't
back
work, it doesn't
that
work.
What if again, sort of, doesn't
it's
it? Like,
just a complete what if.
Yeah.
So within a month I was, had thrown myself into, you know, getting an opening order. I had started to brand, I'd started to design labels, I started to design logos, you know, like I had created a brand within, it felt like a month, it just happened so quickly. And then on the 11th of November, I launched Golden Angel.
Wow.
So that was the new part of my business. So I had to completely diversify and just hope for the best. And it's honestly been one of the biggest blessings that has ever come my way. Like it's just completely changed my whole business for the better. And yeah, it's just been such an incredible experience so far, because it's just, this new aspect of my business has just completely taken off.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And is that like, sort of like, say you sort of talk about a contacted lab, are you left up to your own devices, sort of everything else? Like they literally send you the product, but you have to design it, name it.
Yeah.
All of that, like that's a one-man everything. Type thing.
It's all completely on you. And wow. I didn't realize the amount of work that firstly goes into it, and then secondly how stressful it actually is. And I remember like midway through, like all they do is like they design the product, so they formulate it and they send it to you, and then once they do that, oh, it's all on you, like we don't do anything else, we'll just send it to you. So it was left to me to do the whole design process. And obviously because of COVID, like in normal times you can go and meet your graphic designer and have a meeting and say, I want this, this, this and this. Whereas we had to do everything over email, like you couldn't meet with anybody. So like, I think the longest and most stressful part of the whole process was actually designing what the product was going to look like and how it was going to be branded.
And it that's was so important though.
Like, oh, so important. And, you know, for me, I wanted something that was a little bit diverse. I didn't want my product to kind of blend in on a shelf and look like everything else. So I was trying to stay away from pink, because 90% of tanning brands out there are pink.
Yeah.
So it was important to me that it was eye-catching but still beautiful looking, but wasn't like everything else at the moment. So we were constantly like back and forth over a course of nearly a month trying to finalize the design and get the logo and everything trademarked and all that kind of crack. And then on the 11th hour, so I had kind of announced, I mean at the beginning of November I'd announced, I'm launching a product, I'm launching a tan, it's going to be available in a few days. And at this stage, I had no branding finalized. I had nothing, but I was like, okay, I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. This is happening. So, you know, I was just rolling with it. Like I didn't know when it was going to happen. So I'd kind of said, it's going to be released on the 10th of November. And on the 11th hour, like I remember going to look at the branding and it was completely wrong.
Oh,
like
no.
The color was completely wrong. Like it was not what I wanted. Everything about it, I just remember thinking, this is completely wrong. Maybe this is not supposed to happen. Like I have to change everything. It was just, I was just so upset by it. Like it was just an error, you know, on the graphic designer's part, but it wasn't the end of the world. And I remember like having a meltdown and saying to my mom, I don't think that I'm meant to do this. I don't think it's meant to happen. I think it's a sign. And my mom kind of said, no, I think that this is a sign that you're not meant to launch on the 10th, you're meant to launch on the 11th. And it's really random, but 11 is my lucky number.
Yeah.
So I left Fuchsia on the 11th. and I signed the lease for my studio on the 11th.
Wow.
And you know, I'm one of these people, anytime I glance at the clock, it's 11:11, and I'm
like, oh, angel numbers.
Yes,
like,
I'm big into that.
And 11 is such a powerful number as well.
Such a powerful number. So anytime I see 11:11, like, oh my God, make a wish. Yeah. And it's this little thing like me and my mom would always have, like, oh, it's 11:11. And my mom kind of said to me that day, she said, I think it's a sign, you're not meant to launch on the 10th. You're meant to launch on the 11th of the 11th. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. How did that happen? Yeah. How did I not see this? So my mom was like, no, you're meant to launch Golden Angel on the 11th of the 11th at 11:11. And that's when it was launched, and that's when it was born. So
yeah,
it worked out in my favor, thankfully. Like, it was a stressful road, but I mean, it worked out amazing in the end. And yeah.
And I suppose if you had at that stage, so like, say you get the graphics back and the design and you're like, yeah, no, this is not it. Like, I suppose it could have went two ways. Because it's hard as well when it's the first thing that you've sort of done in this sort of realm on your own.
Yeah.
You could have just went with it and just been like, I'll just do it. But then, like, say it's not true to what you want. And then you're like, you know, but you feel sort of pressure. But then at the same time, if you had just said no, like, have you already got the stock? Have you already got all that, like, spent the money and such? Like, is it literally just going to write off the loss?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I had all the stock at this time. So I was after spending thousands.
Yeah.
Like, thousands on stock, and the stock was sitting there and the design wasn't right. So when we kind of went back the next day, and you know, the graphic designer was like, I think I fixed it, I think this is it, I think it's perfect. And I was just like, okay. And at this time I was just feeling like a little bit deflated.
Yeah, of course.
So we had one bottle, like the first bottle with the label on it, and it was like wrapped up in a bag. And I was saying to my mom, I was like, I just want to go home and look at it. I just don't feel like I can look at it right now. And my mom was like, it'll be fine. And we went home and my mom was like, open it and just see what it looks like.
Yeah.
I opened it up and I was like, oh my God, that's it. It's amazing. It's beautiful. That's my name. And I just cried out of just pure happiness. But also it was kind of that moment of, I can't believe this is actually happening, because I just kept thinking back to that beauty show in the RDS. When I was like in my early 20s and I saw Marissa Carter with Coco Brown, and then my name is on my own tan. It was just that moment of, oh God, this has actually really happened. You know, it kind of, in a way, I kind of manifested this. And
it was in your hand. It was physically like actually there.
That's the thing. Like, I saw it in my mind and I held it in my hand. And that was just, that was a big moment, you know.
For
and
sure.
I still have that bottle. Like, I'll keep that first bottle forever.
But that's the type of thing that you put, like, you nearly like put in like a big glass like a frame glass or something.
Totally.
Don't touch that.
I'm going to keep that forever, definitely.
And I obviously know, but what is the name of your tan?
It's Golden Angel Tan.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Golden Angel. So for ages, I was kind of like, what would I call it? And I'm one of these people, like, I carry around my notebook with me all the time and a pen, and like random thoughts will come into my head, or I'll just start doodling and like writing random things. And I was in my makeup studio one day and I was like, what would I call it? And I just started writing like loads of like words that I liked, or, you know, things that go with tan, like golden and bronze and sun-kissed, all this kind of thing. And I just started writing, and I had like a list of words that then were kind of forming into names. And one of them was just like Golden Angel. And I just remember looking at it, and I have it in my bag. I'll show you. But I found the piece of paper where I'd written all these names. Golden Angel is there, and I have a red circle around it, because I was like, that's it,
that's the one,
that's the name.
So
Golden Angel Tan is my baby.
Yes. And then so that, I suppose, like you say, because at home with salons and appointments and that been cancelled, I suppose that somewhat kept you going and kept you busy, and obviously financially as well as like sane wise, that's given you something to be doing since like everything shut down in December.
Oh, I just felt like I had purpose again. Like, it was crazy. Like, my mom, she constantly says, she's like, you should have called that product Sanity, because it just kept you so sane. Because I could never not work. Like, I love working and I love being on the move. So for me not working, like, it didn't suit me. And that's one thing that I realized during lockdown, like, not working just doesn't suit me. I have to be doing something. So it gave me so much to focus on. Like, last year was just mentally a very, very tough year, like with everything, you know, with the lockdown and then work being stopped and then everything you knew just kind of ended. And like, my friend passed away last year, then my granny passed away. So there was so much grief and so much heartache in 2020 that the fact that Golden Angel had came out of it and it just gave me something to focus on and it kept me so sane. It was such a blessing.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it was kind of the ideal time because I launched in November. So it was right before Christmas. So everyone wanted it for Christmas presents and, you know, Salon started to want to stock it. And it was, yeah, it was just, it was really surreal seeing people post it on Instagram. And I think it sounds really strange, but I never thought about people loving it, if that makes sense. Like, I was so focused on actually getting the product out there and, you know, being like, okay, there it is, it's done. But I kind of forgot about the whole aspect of, God, I hope people love it. I hope people like it. I hope people buy it. You know, you can't, I had this panic the night before I launched that I hope I've done the right thing. I hope this actually sells. Yeah, you know, you kind of, it was only like the last minute I had that.
Yeah.
You don't know, like you really don't know. But thankfully, like the reviews are incredible. And in such a short time, it's built up such a loyal client base, which I'm so grateful for. And I can't believe like the feedback I get from it is just, it's amazing. So
and now the tables have sort of turned in the sense that now you have brand ambassadors. So you're the one giving like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like you're the opposite
now,
side. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like that must be
I'm
quite weird.
I'm giving the title now. It's so strange. It's, yeah, I think it's one of those things you kind of never really imagined. But I mean, I have so many, like my ambassadors are amazing and they wear the tan so well and they love it so much. And that's something that was really important to me. Like I want people to love, you know, I know no one will ever love it as much as I love it, but my ambassadors are amazing and they give it so much love and so much praise and they wear it so well. And I mean, they really live up to their name. Like they are amazing ambassadors. So it was really important to me that the people who are representing me and my brand just, you know, that they really do love it and they do. So I am blessed that I have amazing girls representing the brand. So I'm very lucky for that.
I think that's half the battle as well, because like you said, like I was thinking this earlier when you were talking, when you set up your blog in 2016, that was probably just before the sort of rush of like influencers and bloggers and stuff. Whereas like everyone now, you know, there's so many bloggers and it doesn't, you've got like your micro, macro, and then you're like massive accounts and stuff. So there's different stages. So brand ambassador is a bit of a term that can be thrown around quite loosely.
Yes.
I think when your brand ambassadors are, like you said, literally doing what they say, like they genuinely are ambassadors and sort of putting out that they, you know, they love this product and they want it to do well. And they like, they genuinely use it because they actually want to use it. I think that's the sort of difference. And I think people see that though, because like I follow so many influencers and I can see right through when 2 seconds ago they were using one toothpaste and then the next week they're using a different one. And I'm like,
another one. Exactly.
The whole credibility for me goes out the window at that stage. Cause I'm just like, I don't mind people doing that for a job. I understand the reason for it. And I understand it's just another form of advertising. It's just a digital age. And I'm all for it as well. Cause I think it gives, like say people become business owners and self-employed off the back of it. But I think so many people have had their fingers burnt previously from recommendations. And then it turns out, oh, this person didn't do this or it doesn't align with it. So like I said, the fact that your brand ambassadors are so for you and with the brand, like that's just must be such a relief.
It's such a relief. And like, I mean, some of my brand ambassadors are like close friends because, you know, I kept it very under wraps that I was launching a tan. So when I told some of my close friends, like the excitement from them and the enthusiasm from them and how much they helped me in the process was amazing. And, you know, I remember giving them samples to try and like, oh my God, Dawn, this is incredible. This is amazing. And they loved it. And I kind of thought, you know what? You can't buy that reaction.
No.
You couldn't find that from anywhere. So, you know, it was important to me that they, you know, they become representatives for my brand. So it worked out really well that, you know, some of my ambassadors are close friends of mine, but that they also, they love the brand as much as I do, which is amazing. So it's just something that you can't buy. And I mean, I didn't want to throw around the brand ambassador term. Like I wanted them to really represent it because they love it.
Yeah.
And so far, like my ambassadors, they are amazing and they show so much love for the brand, which is incredible. So I couldn't ask for more.
No, that's spot on. And like you say, that was last year. Like, let's just say, I don't even know how we could imagine it, but let's just say 2020 didn't go the way it went and it went the way we had of. When do you, like, because you said you wanted, when you were 18, you always had this idea. When do you think that would have actually happened? Like, do you think it would have been as soon or?
It's funny. Like, I only had this conversation with someone recently. I don't know if I would be in the position I'm in now. I don't know if I would have Golden Angel if it wasn't for lockdown.
Yeah.
Like I kind of said recently, like as tough as lockdown was, in a funny way, it was a blessing in disguise because it gave me that time to actually go and research it, because my lifestyle before and my job before was just so hectic and so busy that I didn't really like, I always like thought that, you know, one day I will have my own brand. And every January, like after New Year, I will write down my goals for the year.
Yeah.
And every year I put on my list, you know, launch your beauty brand and like, you know, release a beauty product. And I, every year I write it down. And like, I don't think it would have happened without the lockdown, because I don't think I would have actually, like, it's always in the back of my mind, but it's always like, oh, I'll come back to that later. I'm too busy at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like in a funny way, lockdown was a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. I feel like that had to happen for me to kind of go, okay, this is your time. You can throw yourself into it. You can give it all your love and attention and you can make it happen.
Yeah.
So I do often think if it wasn't for a lockdown 2020, maybe Golden Angel wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't happen for another few years. So
yeah,
it kind of was a thing where it was divine timing.
And I think as well, like with the trade that you're in, because same as influencers and stuff, I follow so many makeup artists and there were so many different, I suppose, routes that you could have went down in regards to like diversifying. Like there was people doing like online courses or, you know, like one-to-one over Zoom and stuff. So like, it wasn't as if like there was no other options, but I suppose it's that thing of like, do I just jump straight in with not the easiest, because that completely just like makes little of what it is, but like the thing that I know best, I can teach makeup. I do makeup. How do I do that? But at the same time, I suppose it was like, right, let's just pull it right back. Let's just like say, come off social media, do nothing and just sort of think. Cause like I say, if your lifestyle is so hectic and you're go, 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 you're like, I'll do that, I'll do that. But the things that we really, really want to do, or the big things that will make such a difference, they always get put on the long finger. Like it's like,
that's exactly it. And that's what I had done for so long. Like I just put it on the long finger. And during the lockdown, like so many people were asking, like, oh, are you going to do online makeup courses and things? And I did have requests to do them, but it was a personal thing for me. Like I do a lot of makeup lessons, but I like to be hands-on. Like I like to have like the client in front of me and to be able to give that hands-on help.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I just felt, for me, I just felt like it wasn't the right route to go down, and it wasn't like the right decision to make. And I felt like if I was doing it, I would be doing it just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that like, oh,
was
I really
want part of your business when this all stopped.
Yeah, not at all. I just felt like I didn't want to do the whole online thing. Like I would rather do lessons in person. So that was just a personal thing for me. So I kind of just kind of, I was like making a list of things that could help diversify the business. And I kind of put down like, is this the time to launch, you know, a beauty product?
True.
So
yeah.
I just wasn't sure. And like, I wasn't even sure when it was going to launch or how it would happen. And then like, I mean, if it was so busy over Christmas, like the launch was insane. Like it was hectic. And then obviously over Christmas, it was really, really busy. And then January hit and we were put straight back into level 5 lockdown.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, the brand isn't even 2 months old and already like it's now stagnant, like everything stopped. You can't do anything. And I was like, I've made such a mistake here. Like, how am I going to sell all this product?
Yeah.
And I mean, the second, third week in January then became so busy because everyone was ordering Golden Angel Tan.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on? Like, no one's going anywhere. There's nowhere open.
It boosts you. Like,
and that's what
it
was. I have
no tan on now and I'm literally translucent. And I put tan on a couple of weeks ago and I felt like $1 million. I felt like I'd had a week's holiday. I felt like I didn't even have makeup on, but I felt like I looked like more awake. I looked younger. And I know that sounds like quite vain, but like for me, getting out of bed in the morning and throwing on a tracksuit, if I was throwing it on and I had tan on, I didn't feel like I was just rolling out of bed. I don't know. It's all psychological.
It's,
but it's
a feel good factor though. It definitely is a feel good factor. Cause I mean, it tricks your mind into thinking that you have more vitamin D than you actually do. And I think I kind of forgot about that aspect of tan being a feel good factor. So come January, everyone was like, I need to order, I need to order. I was like, okay. Like everyone had said to me, Dawn, it just makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wow. Oh my God. That's amazing.
That's
so from January until now. That's exactly what you want to hear. So from January until now, it has just been nonstop hectic, which is amazing. So it's really given me so much time to kind of, you know, look into kind of what I can do next and where I can take the brand next, which is really exciting.
And do you have, you don't need to say what, but do you have stuff sort of ready to go, sort of plans in place sort of thing?
I do, yeah. I have a lot of things that I'm working on at the moment. So I think the next thing that I'm going to be doing is like the spray tan will be formulated. So I have my spray tan samples right here. So they will be formulated and then they will be kind of sent to salons for the next kind of phase. If I'm not sure if Debs or things like that will happen, but you know, when things start to reopen,
as soon as people can get spray tans, people are going to get a
spray tan.
Like I say, just for the feel good factor, because there's nothing better than going in and getting a spray tan done on a Thursday or a Friday and then having it for a week. Like,
I know. Like, there's no better feeling. Like, I love a good spray tan.
Yeah.
So yeah, the formula of the spray tan, they're done. So I have three different ones that I'm going to be launching into salons. And then I have a new tan formulation in a mousse that's coming kind of midsummer, the end of summer. And then I've a new facial tan that's going to be launching soon. And then I've another kind of project.
You have another product, don't you?
I have the facial tanning drops, so you kind of mix them with your moisturizer, and then it's like it gives you like this just gorgeous like golden glow. But then I have another, it's like a facial mist that's going to be I actually haven't told anybody this. You're the first one that
exclusive.
You're getting the exclusive. So that will be launched for the summer. It's like a gorgeous summer product. It's like a face mist. And then I have another kind of project that I'm working on, which I'll tell you in the next episode. We'll review that. But I've more kind of things happening within the beauty line, I suppose. That will be happening more toward the end of the year, which I'm really excited about.
That's something that's so much more in your control. Like say, please God, these restrictions lifting, like this is the end of it. But like someone said, I was teaching outside last night and someone said to me, can you promise that we're not going to be doing Zoom ever again? And I was like, I won't ever promise anything to anyone ever again. Like, don't ask me to promise, because if anything I've learned this year, you were in no control. But I suppose with this type of industry, and I suppose initially things dropped, didn't they? But then online sales of beauty and clothing and that actually went up in lockdown because people were shopping. So that's something then, like you say, that even if, God forbid, anything changes, it's like you can keep doing that work. That's still something you can do. And like you say, it diversifies your income and your business, and it just sort of opens it up way more than I suppose you would have even imagined.
Exactly. Like, and I never could have predicted the success of Golden Angel. Like, I really... it blows me away. Like, it genuinely does. I was not prepared for how much it was going to take off. And it's just been, it's been amazing to see. And I mean, I have so much support, like the support from people, especially in my hometown. But I mean, it surprised me that it's actually gone nationwide so quickly. Yeah. Like, because I've customers in Galway and Dublin and Cork, and it's gone everywhere so quick, which is just insane to me. Mm. But I mean, I'm so grateful that I have that good support around me. And like I always say, I couldn't do it without people believing in me and encouraging me. So that does mean a lot. But I mean, if you'd said to me this time last year that you're going to own your own brand in the next few months, I don't know if I would have believed it. I would have been okay. You know, like you kind of, just one of those things that, just you can't imagine it becoming a reality. But once you kind of have that time to put your mind to something, you can make it happen. So it's been amazing, but it's been exciting. But it's probably the best thing to have come out of the lockdown.
Yeah. And so many people, I've seen so many people that have literally done a 180 on different things in life, and they've said like that, like complete what you've said, the blessing in disguise. And although we wouldn't have wanted to go through it, and obviously there was a lot of heartache and sad times with that, like you say, it was just that whole, the fact of the world stopping and giving people time that you could actually like proper sort of listen to yourself. I suppose we weren't distracted, there wasn't 17 dinners and 6 lunch meetups to do like in a week type thing. It was just like, right, no distractions, and sort of just in coming and fine tune with yourself as well, and like really sort of honing in on what you wanted.
Absolutely. I think like it was a big challenge for people, but it made them find something that maybe they didn't know that they had. And a friend of mine, she owns a salon in Drogheda as well, and we were chatting there recently, and she kind of said like, it feels like we're being reborn. You know, like now that we're about to like reopen and we're going back into our businesses, and we've all diversified and we've all kind of found things about ourselves, and we've, you know, created something new during lockdown, and we've kind of found this inner strength that we didn't know that we had. It does feel like it's like a new beginning, I suppose, in a way. Like you're being reborn.
Agree. Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, I've said I've come out of hibernation, but it took 6 months. It usually takes a few weeks, but this, the whole first half of this year, I just, like I said, I sort of lay low. And now I do feel like nothing's changed drastically because things opened up weeks ago in some ways for us. But just slowly, I'm starting to feel more like myself. And I don't know. Yeah, like you say, it just feels fresh and new. I'm very much here for it.
Definitely.
Obviously, best of luck with the tan and the products and all of that.
Thank you.
I love these type of conversations because I think it just gives people like inspiration and I suppose just that sort of idea that, like, you know, things are doable. Like, say, you didn't even believe potentially that it was doable, but you're like a poster child that, right, if you set your mind to it, you give yourself the time to do it, that you can actually do these things that you thought was like however many years away. And I just think it's really exciting to hear these type of stories. And I think with everything going on and things starting to open up and come back to reality, I think people just love to hear. It's like, it just gives people sort of that bit of hope and sort of inspiration moving forward.
I hope so, definitely. And I mean, it was a tough, I suppose, decision to make. Like, it was a complete gamble on my behalf because I didn't have a steady income at the time I launched Golden Angel. Like, I didn't have, you know, help, like financial help from anybody. Like, this was all done myself. So it wasn't like I was in a position where I was like, oh, I've loads of savings or I come from money background, you know, like I come from quite a humble background. But it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, let's just take a risk and see what happens. And thankfully so far it is paying off. So a little risk every now and then, you never know, it might work in your favor.
Yeah,
but like it is one of those things, if you never try, you'll never know. Do you know what I mean? So
I hate that whole thing of actually just going to come on to the next topic, but we always end with a quote. And there's two that's come to mind. I've probably said them all before. I've only got like 10 quotes that I recycle over and over, but two that came to mind from speaking to you literally on what you were talking about is the one about but what if I fall, and then it's but my darling, what if you fly? And I can't remember what the other one is. But anyway, that's my quote for today, because literally it's always based on that. Like, we do always sort of have that half glass half empty, but it's like, but imagine if it was the other way around. Like, and because we say, but what if the bad thing happens? And it's like, but what if the amazing thing happens? Like,
exactly.
For me, I think that's exactly everything that you've spoken about today, even before the lockdown, even with, you know, leaving your full-time secure job and, you know, going self-employed and all these little risks along the way. Like I say, they mightn't have gone in the direction that you thought they'd be, but they've ended you up where you are now. And like, you know, you wouldn't change any of it, I suppose.
Not at all. I mean, it's just, I feel so blessed. Like, I'm just at that stage in my life where I just feel really blessed with the journey that I've had and with where I am and with where I'm going. Like, I just really do. I do feel so blessed. And in a lot of ways, like, it's all about mindset. And the quote that I love, I'm like you, like, I love so many quotes. Like, I just, like, I'll always set a different quote as my lock screen every week or two.
Same.
But I love a good quote. But I mean, one that always sticks with me is that a negative mind will never give you a positive life.
Yeah.
So it's just about, you know, things can fall apart and you can be at your lowest. But I think if you can find something positive somewhere, even the smallest little thing, it can turn your life around, and it can help to, you know, to make things get better for you. And that was something that I always kind of live by, because I always think of that day where I had 72 cents in my name and I just left my job and, you know, like, we went into lockdown and everything closed. I had to find a positive somewhere. And just by me finding that positive, it did help change my life. And I'm in a positive place now, which I'm very grateful for and I'm very thankful for. So I think if you can, as you said, you know, be the glass half full kind of person and just find the smallest positive in any situation, it does help to change your life 100%.
Most definitely. And I think a lot of people, I suppose, have probably honed in a lot more on that, like, positive mental attitude. And like, since feckin', I don't know, 2007, 2008, I've just loved, like, the Law of Attraction, The Secret and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I go in and out of love with it, and sometimes I'm a lot hotter on it than others, but I always, it's always in the back of my mind. And I think a lot of people sort of looked into that a lot more with the lockdowns and stuff, because all we had was our mind. Sometimes we were left with just our own thoughts, and that can be a horrible place sometimes. So
absolutely.
I think the fact that we could sort of, like, say, sort of understand that, and like I said, that all the examples that you gave, and, you know, you could have just sat and sort of, you know, taking it all for negative and sort of begrudged everything and then, you know, just got back with it. But then what situation would you be in now? You'd still be sort of at the mercy of lockdown and restrictions and stuff. And yeah, I think just by taking the control and, like you say, sort of looking at the positives and all of that, it's just massive. I will never stop preaching about that. Like, people are sick of me talking about it, but I don't care.
No, I love it. I'm totally on your page as well. I love all that stuff. And you know, it is a mindset thing as well, and it's a great mindset to have. Like, I'm all for it. Love
it. Same. Well, Dawn, thank you so, so much. Honestly, I could have just sat and just listened to that because I just love hearing success stories. I love hearing about people who've just trust their gut, who just go with it and just take risks, because I think, like I said, it's just inspiring and it sort of makes you feel like things are a lot more achievable and doable just by hearing other people do it. I will put in the show notes everywhere, so if anyone wants to follow Dawn, I'll put like the Instagram, the Facebook, and for the Golden Angel Tan as well, all the links. But yeah, thank you so, so much again.
It's, of course, it has been thank amazing. You for having me. I loved
it. Of course,
I loved
and
it,
like that, we'll get you back on when the rest of the brand gets out.
And I can reveal more.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Dawn.
Of course, Grania. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, it would honestly mean the world if you would leave a review. I would genuinely appreciate that. And if you're liking what you're hearing, please hit the subscribe button so you get notified of any future episodes. Thanks again, guys, and I'll hopefully see you back here soon. Lots of love, G.